Greetings. In Jesus' name, trust that we've been blessed and challenged this morning already. This morning for a message, I'd like to continue with the message that I preached here the last time, I believe. And the title then was Embracing Your Spiritual Gifts. And just been pondering about that and thinking about the importance of that, and I just felt motivated to continue speaking further into that. This past week, we had the opportunity of having some young people in our home, and they spent a couple days or a night and a day. And some of Anna's friends, and when you're around new people, we tend to notice things because we don't know who they are, and so we tend to take in more. And I couldn't help but feel an appreciation for these young people, and I was pondering that, and it's like, well, what was it that I appreciated? What was it about them? And as I was thinking about that, the conclusion that I came to is they cared about people. They cared about each other. And as people observe us, they come away with something and they will conclude something, and I trust and pray that it would be that. I also, this past week, I had a conversation with someone about their workplace, not my workplace, but they were talking about their workplace and how things went. How it was such a good day. And how it was amazing how the reason that it was a good day, and we can have a good day even if this isn't taking place, but it is harder to. But the reason that the day was special is because everybody was doing what they were told to do. They were doing the job that was put before them. And so all that needed to be done is we do our job. In the church, when we are all doing the task that God has given us, what an amazing thing. How encouraging it is when we walk into a church that is doing that. And I just want to stop and say this morning that I feel very thankful for my church. And I feel very blessed and encouraged by my church. And the reason that I'm preaching this message is to encourage us, to that we could strengthen in these areas, embracing the job that God has given you, doing it well. If you turn with me to Nehemiah, and we can just look at a couple passages here, and maybe we can just pause and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do just pause before you this morning again with thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you have given each one of us. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to do those things well. I pray, Lord, that as we look at Scripture here this morning, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, that you would draw us to yourself. And Lord, we do ask that you would mold and shape us and make us more like yourself. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Nehemiah chapter 2, going down to verse 11, we see the vision that Nehemiah had. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon on well, to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pole, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of valley, and so returned. Here we see just a little glimpse here, the vision that Nehemiah had, that he was feeling a calling of dealing with, and he was looking at the ruins of Jerusalem. The walls were broken down, and we see in verse 14 here how bad it really was. It was so bad that the animal that he was riding was, there wasn't room for him to move forward. And we see Nehemiah had this vision and a calling from God to do something. Now let's just stop and imagine for a minute that if Nehemiah would have taken this job on and started working on this on his own, trying to clean up and rebuild what was broken. We see in chapter 3 that there was many people that gathered around Nehemiah's vision and started doing the work that God had placed on Nehemiah's heart. I think if we go through chapter 3, we see that there was probably at least 40 people groups that were working on the project here. And I'm sure that everyone was doing what they could. And if they were good at a certain thing, they were taking those tasks on. And if they were doing something and realized that maybe, well, I'm better at this over here, and I have a brother beside me that can take on the task that I've attempted to take on, they're there helping each other. And we know that they took it on and accomplished the job at hand. In chapter 4, verse 9, we see that they experience opposition from their enemies. Opposition. People were coming against them. We see that they continued on. They didn't stop their work, but it says that they were on guard day and night. They didn't allow that to stop them. We see that Nehemiah encouraged all the able people to bring their skills together and to work together and have a common goal. Just as we see this picture here is what God wants to do in the church. That is us, His people. The work of the church to bring our skills together to do God's work. He's not looking for one or two people and to bring those people out and do all the work. But he desires to do that through each one of us here. In Hebrews, some of the things for us as His people to do. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. How do you think in Jerusalem as Nehemiah and his people were working on rebuilding, doing the job that God had given them, how did they stay focused? I believe that they encouraged each other. They didn't lose sight of the goal that they believed that God had given them. If we're doing something that we believe that God would have us to do, and we have people encouraging us, what happens? We gain strength from that, and we can move forward. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, edify one another, even as also ye do. An encouragement there. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We look at 1 Peter 4, 10 here. We see that it's talking to all of us. It's not just picking out a handful of people, but it's saying, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold of grace of God. What happens when we walk into a group of people and we see them doing the tasks that were given them? When we see them diligently doing what they're called to do? When we walk into a workplace and we see everyone doing what they're supposed to do with joy, with purpose, it motivates us. It makes us want to do what they're doing. God calls us, his people, to stand up in situations when it isn't like that. When God gives us a job, Nehemiah was called to step out, and he had a task for him. God, I believe, does that to us. We know what God wants us to do, but we can easily look around and find someone that's not doing their task and get bogged down by that and say, it's like, well, others aren't doing their piece, and so why should I? In Nehemiah, we see Nehemiah starting with prayer. Prayer was going into his job. A vision was formed. Everyone had a task to do, and they had to fight off the enemy. So, as we embrace the jobs that God gives us, that he has given us, I think there's things that we need to be aware of, things that we need to be doing. We need to have prayer. We need to seek those things with prayer. We need to have a vision of what that might be. And then we need to step out and start doing the job. And we need to be willing and able to deal with the enemy. If we expect to engage in these things and not have to deal with the enemy, we're kidding ourselves. Are we embracing the spiritual gifts that God has given us. Division, task, dealing with the enemy. So we think about that, the hindrances that might get in the way. Are we aware of those? What are some hindrances that we might face? As we think about the task that God has for us. So I was pondering that sometimes maybe the reason we're not doing something is we don't know. We don't know what God, what that gift, what that spiritual gift that God has wants us to do. We don't know what that is. If we're in that state this morning, I would encourage you to seek the Lord and come to an understanding so you can embrace that vision. Another one that can be a hindrance is a lack of service or involvement. What motivates us to do that? Maybe we see other people doing it and we feel it's like, well, someone else is taking care of it and therefore I don't need to do it. I would encourage you to come alongside those people and embrace them and help them and become vulnerable in those areas. I think another one that can cause us to stumble or not be able to move forward is when we have unresolved personal problems, like relationships. Think relationship lack of when we have relationships in our lives that are not good, it will hinder us in moving forward. We're not able to step out and do God's work. Another one, being out of the will of God, sin in our lives. When we have things in our lives that are hidden or not dealt with, we're unable to have God work in and through us. Another one I think that maybe hinders us is when we see someone else doing something well, and it's like, well, that's how God wants to use me, and we try to copy people and do what they're doing. I think one that is common for us to do and is human nature is relying on my own abilities. Seeking my own strengths. Our enemy wants to stop our work. He wants to trip us up in any one of these areas or others. Maybe there's others that you're dealing with. But his goal is to trip us up in these areas and make us that we're not successful. And if he succeeds in tripping us up in only one of those things, it will hinder our ability in our work. What are some results of not allowing my spiritual gifts in being used in the church? I believe that if God is asking something of us and we're unwilling and it's a task that needs to be done, one of the things that what's going to happen is God is going to seek someone else and find someone else to do the job. The other thing that very likely will happen is, or can happen, is the church is going to lose a blessing. The church maybe is going to not be functioning properly because we're not willing to do what God called us to do. So when we think about spiritual gifts, it's important that we start unwrapping those and that we understand that we have a vision for what God would have us to do and then to do them. Spiritual gifts, it's not something that we come up with ourselves, but it is something that God calls us to serve Him. And it's not through our own abilities or our own status, but it is God enabling us. I do believe that when we think about the gifts that God gives His people, I believe that spiritual gifts and abilities sometimes go hand in hand, but I don't believe that we're limited to that. I believe, in fact, God loves to work through His people when His people feel unable. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, tells us an important ingredient that has to be in our lives. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So, how can I receive faith? In Romans 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Coming to a place in our lives where we can hear what God is saying. Does our life remind people what God is teaching, what God is saying? Are we reminded, does our life remind people of that? Going back to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, as every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In this verse, it seems to me that Peter assumes that we're all bringing something to the table. We all have something to give. And how amazing it is when we see the church rising up to the occasions that are before us. And we see people doing what they believe that they should do and can do, and doing it with joy. And how it must please the Lord when He sees us doing that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. God has placed us all here. He has brought us together here this morning to do that, to encourage, to edify the church. What happens when we as God's people are encouraged, when we're edified, when we're strengthened, when we have a brother coming alongside us and telling us that you can do this, that God is pleased, and God, that we believe in each other. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, in closing, tells us that maturity comes by having our senses exercised. If we never exercise, we'll never mature. If we never try things, we don't know if we're we won't get better at it. If we have to step outside of ourselves at times and just trust God and see what He will do in and through our lives. And sometimes we take on things and realize it's like, wow, yeah, that's a stretch for me, and I'm not very good at that. But when we take it on and allow God to realize, if we believe that God, we did it for the Lord, I think it's an amazing thing, and I believe that God will bless that. But there's times, I believe, in even in dull things, we take things on, and a brother comes along, and it's like we realize that he's much better at that than I am, and we feel we have the humility or feel the need to tap on others' shoulders and say, I believe God wants you to help me or to do this for me, and I just think that is a way that as the church that we can encourage, we can help each other and grow together. And remember, I think that something is really important for us to remember, that I'm not the only person, and God doesn't just want to reveal Himself through me, but He wants to bring others. He wants to bring others out. And that picture in Nehemiah, and seeing Nehemiah's vision and the steps that he took and the ability that he had to bring people together for a common cause, for God's work. And that is what God wants in His church. Are we willing to step up and do that? And I trust this morning that we are. And may God bless you and give you courage as you step out and do those things in purpose to dig into those things and do them more and more. May God bless.